Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
God of miracles.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
we praise
Lord.
Your name.
We thank you for your power, Lord.
Bless his name.
Thank you for your power this day, Lord. Thank you for your touch on our lives, Lord. Jesus, you are awesome, Lord. Hallelujah. If you need a miracle, just lift your hands. I believe God's power is here. He is able to heal. He's able to set free. He's able to guide. He's able to provide. Hallelujah. Nothing is too great and nothing is too small. Lord, we just receive your miracle power in our lives. We welcome your miracle power into our families. Lord, into our circumstances, the stuff that feels so impossible is nothing for you. You're the God of miracles, and we just welcome you, Lord. We ask you to touch bodies and heal, Lord, in Jesus' name, right here in this room. Bring healing, Lord, into our lives, Father. Bring your provision, Lord God. Open doors. We need open doors, Lord. We need opportunity. We need guidance, Lord. So thank you for your miraculous guidance. If you would just stretch your hands out. Kathy and I are praying over these prayer needs as well. Scores and scores of people that are getting involved with our Beyond offering, and others that just couldn't get involved, but they've got a need. And God sees the hurt. He sees the situation. As I was reading over these today, I felt such assurance that God is going to guide. So we're going to lay our hands on these right here and just believe. We're lifting up your family. We're lifting up all the needs for guidance. Lord, we just pray right now. Supernatural guidance, Lord. Opening doors, even closing doors, Lord, according to your will. So many said, I just want God's will in my life. I need God's will in my life. So, Lord, we just agree right now for your guidance and your touch, Lord. Lord, protect us from getting out of your will. Guide our steps, Lord. Every decision that we make, every paper that we sign, Lord, let it be guided by you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your hand of blessing. And now as we go into the Word, I pray your Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that inspired these scriptures to be written. Lord, be with us right now in this time and feed us and strengthen us, we pray. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your Spirit. And we bless you for it in Jesus' name. And the people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap, can we? And just say amen. Will you take those, honey? Take those down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can grab a teaching outline on the chair right next to you. We're going to get into the message. I do want to mention, and I should have mentioned this Saturday at our prayer meeting, we have a beautiful gathering every Saturday morning, most every Saturday morning. The doors open here at 6, and we pray together and have worship, and it's a wonderful time. However, because of the Thanksgiving holiday, we will not have Saturday prayer this Saturday, so spread the word on that. And if you want to pray, and I hope you do, pray at home this weekend because we're going to be relaxing a little bit. Kathy and I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope you're going to be just relaxing and with the people that you care about and love. If you're away from people that you love, then please remember that you're never alone because God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And just be grateful. Now let me begin with a question. How many of you have ever felt inadequate? How many felt inadequate just today? Yeah, I did. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about, we've been in this series on small things, and we've talked about small faith, and we've talked about small beginnings. And in a way, though the message is entitled Committing It to God, in a way, I want to talk about small people. That feeling that we have, that we are not always quite enough, maybe not quite enough for the challenge at work or at home or with our parents or with our children or with our job. We all wrestle with those feelings of maybe were a little bit smaller than the moment would require. But today I have really good news for you. And that is, if you take your little, what seems little, and you commit it to God, if you take your little ability, your little time, your little gift, your little energy, and just put it into the hands of the Lord, He is able to multiply it and take our inadequacy and make us adequate through His power. God will multiply the things that we turn over to Him. So let me start with a question. Have you turned your weakness, have you turned your inadequacy over to the Lord? Are you just struggling with it all by yourself? Today I want to encourage you, whatever's in your hand, whatever you feel is not quite enough, turn it over to Him and watch what He will do. I heard about God's power to multiply, and it came to me the other day as I was recalling a story that I heard about a Dave Ramsey broadcast. He's a financial kind of a planner guy, investor guy on the radio, Christian, I believe, and does good things. And he was on a podcast where a young man was telling his story about how he was poor and he barely had anything. And he just took a few thousand dollars that he had and invested in a startup business. And then over the course of time, he didn't know if anything was going to happen with that investment. It was an aggressive investment. He thought maybe he would lose it or maybe something good would happen. Hopefully, at least he would get his money back. But somehow, he moved out of the area and he lost track of the address of that company that he had invested in. And a decade passed and he sort of kind of forgot about it. He would think about it every once in a while, you know, as we do sometimes, and I need to follow up on that, and he didn't. And so he just lost track of it, and he thought, well, I probably have lost that money. And then a month before the broadcast aired, he was going through some old tax papers or something, and he found the address. He came up on the address, and he got in touch to check on that investment. And 10 years later, he found out that $2,000 investment had turned into $1.2 million. Something that he thought was so small that he almost didn't want to follow up on, turned out to be the very thing that changed his life. And I thought about that story, and I thought about how many times do we neglect small things? We downplay, you know, the importance. And it's not just about money, it's about every area of our lives. Sometimes we downplay the very things that have the potential to really, really change our story. And when we get committed to God, and when we commit what is in our hands, and allow Him to multiply, how much more will He do for us? Remember that little becomes much when God is in it. You guys remember about the two small loaves and the few little fish that one little boy, a young boy, offered up to Jesus? He just said, well, I don't know if this will help, but here's what I have. And that small little contribution blessed thousands of people in that same day. With one small stone, a little teenager named David struck down a giant and in so doing defeated a whole army. What if you'd have looked at that stone and said, well, this isn't quite enough? It's amazing what happens when the little things get put into God's hands, the miracles that can take place. I can tell you story after story. I remember the Gentile widow that offered the prophet Elijah just a small cake of bread. Just she was ready to eat that and die. That was all she had. And what difference would it make? And why would he even ask for it? It's a very strange story. But maybe it was about the power of offering a small thing. The power of God to take the small things. And you might be in a place today where you just have a little bit of time or a little bit of opportunity or a little bit of faith. And I want you to leverage that by giving it over to the Lord and watching, because He is able to save by many or by few. Small things are a big deal when we commit them to God. Can I have an amen? God is seeking those who will commit what they have to Him. Whatever we have and whoever we are, we can place our small things before Him today, and the Lord of the harvest, the God of multiplication, will multiply it and use it. I have seen this just over the last few weeks here in our church, and at the end of my message, I want to make an exciting announcement about our Beyond offering. But I've seen your ability as a people to say, you know what, I will offer my time, I will offer my talent. I'm a drummer, I'm a I can usher, I can run sound, I can lead a small group, and you step forward. You step forward at offering time. You step forward when it's time to serve. You say, well, I can help with children, or I can greet at the door, or whatever it is. Yeah, I can take on a kid from the neighborhood. I can help out my family member. I've seen you take those small steps of faith, and I've seen how really significant those things turn out to be later. And I can tell you story after story of people that are in this very room whose lives have been changed because people were willing to do small things, seemingly small things, and probably did it with a feeling like, well, it probably won't make much difference, but I'll try. And it's amazing what happens when we turn the little that we have over to the Lord. There's a story in Matthew chapter 25. I'd like us to read it. I'm gonna put it up on the screen. It's in the Message translation. It's a very familiar story to many of us, but this translation kind of brings out, I believe, the tint that I'm going for today, which is the sin or the tragedy of neglecting a small thing because it's small. Saying, well, it's just a small thing. It's no big deal, right? And so I don't really have to pay attention to it. And this story just strikes this chord. Jesus is speaking, and he said, God's kingdom is also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one, he gave $5,000, to another, $2,000, and to a third, $1,000, depending on their abilities. Then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same, but the man with the single thousand, the guy with the smallest gift, what did he do? He dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. Which you think, well, this is good. He's taking good care of it, right? Read on. After a long absence, the master of these three servants came back and settled up with them. The one given $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. The master commended him. Good job. Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner. How many would like to be a partner with God? So I think that word partner is important. Everyone say partner. Because if you and I are going to partner with God, we've got to understand it's just our little thing that we're going to bring. But God really does want to partner with us. He really is looking for us to add even our small thing into the equation so that he can work his power. So he says, from now on, be my partner. And then the servant with the 2,000 showed how he had also doubled his master's investment, and his master commended him. Good work, you did your job well. From now on, be my what? Partner. So now we're in partnership with God because we took the thing that we had and we used it. But watch this. The servant given 1,000 said, Master, I know that you have high standards and you hate careless ways, that you demand the best and you make no allowances for error. You're a severe God. Right? Then he said, I was afraid that I might disappoint you. And boy, I think there's something right there so prophetic for every one of us. How many times are we afraid that what we have would be disappointing to God? That step that we would take would be a letdown for God. And that is really a form of fear. It's really a way of us saying, I don't think God plus my little thing is enough. Well, here's a news flash for you. God by himself is enough. So it doesn't really matter if our thing is small or not. God says, I'm just looking for a partner. I don't want to do this alone. I can do it alone. But I want you to be right here with me. Let's do this together, right? And so he said, I know I might disappoint you. So I found a good hiding place and secured your money, and here it is. Safe and sound, down to the last cent. The master was furious. This is a story that Jesus is telling. This didn't actually happen. This is a story that Jesus is telling to make a point. He says, that's a terrible way to live. It's a terrible way to live, to sit on your part instead of committing it to God. It's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew that I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would be to invest the sum with the bankers, and where at least I would have gotten a little interest, take the 1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most and get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb. Now, that's a paraphrase. It's not an exact translation, but you kind of get the feeling that God is looking for partnership, and even our fears and even that sense of inadequacy that I know we all struggle with, I know I do, that feeling that I don't know if I could make a difference. He says, if you hold that back, if you let that emotion rob you from participation with the partnership of Almighty God, that is no way to live. And today I want to challenge us to take the small things of our life that we say, well, God would never want this, he could never use this, I could never be a blessing in this way. I want to challenge you to put that before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm willing to partner with you. And stop discounting the little thing that you have and stop thinking about how harsh God is. God is not harsh. He's looking for you as a partner. He wants to work together with you because you're special to him. He loves you, and he wants this part. He's not trying to take something from you. He's the one that gave it to you in the first place. Don't you understand? Well, God's trying to get my stuff. No, God's the one that gave you the stuff in the beginning. But he said, but now, would you trust me with that? Because if not, I'll find somebody to partner with. Wow. I mean, God says, I want to use what you have, even if it's just a little. And there are temptations and pressures that we all feel to hold back because we think the thing that's in our hand is not good enough. We feel inadequate. We feel insufficient, right? So we hold back, but boy, that is a mistake. So I want to talk about three real life commitments in this message. You can write these things down in the notes. And if you're watching by video and you're going through this in your small group, take your teaching outline. Begin to work through the material, answer the questions, pray together, and let's have a conversation today about how to commit it to God and see miracles take place in our lives. Number one, I want to challenge you to commit what you have when your gift seems insignificant. We talked about the little boy who gave his loaves and fishes, and I caught this scripture, John 6:9. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And the disciples said, but what good is that? What good is that? Well, they forgot that Jesus knows how to multiply. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, what good am I? We may look at a little time or a little opportunity to do a deed for someone, invite somebody to church. Well, what good would that do? What good would it do if I shared my testimony with someone? What good would I do if I only could serve on that team one time a month? I mean, what good would that do? I mean, really, shouldn't we make room for somebody who could serve every Sunday? What good, you know, what good is my little thing? But that's the very thing that God anoints and blesses. And whether it's 2 mites that the widow gave in the offering or 2 loaves that the young man offered to the disciples or the 1 talent that the servant had, we're all tempted to believe that our gift is not significant. It's insignificant. We don't want to put it to use. We back shelf it. We put it off because it's not important. But the gift that even if we carry something that is small, God can turn it into something that is great. Never underestimate, write this down, never underestimate the power of a small thing. That's the heart and soul of this series, and that includes you. You feel small, you feel like, well, you're not good with words, so did Moses feel that way. You have a disability. Can God use you? You're too old. You're too young. You didn't get an education. You got too much education. We all have our excuses and our reasons. And God just wants to crack that off of us and release us into a wonderful partnership with God. Never underestimate the significance of a small thing. And everyone say the word significant. Because you are significant. and you have significance in God, there's meaning to your life. And even if what you have is just one talent, it's significant because for you, that's what you have. So don't discount that and say, well, it's not significant because, you know, it's easy for us to maybe compare ourselves to somebody who has two talents or somebody who has five talents and say, well, I'm not a five-talent guy. I'm not a two-talent guy. I'm just a one-talent guy. I can tell you that a one-talent person who's faithful will trump a five-talent guy who's not paying attention every single time, every day. It's a story of my life. I'm a one-talent guy who's just showed up and been faithful. And I felt insignificant, and I felt challenged and overwhelmed. I can't tell you how many times standing before an audience or doing a memorial service with a 12-year-old who passed away. You can't imagine the moments of insignificance. What would I have to be able to say? What could I possibly bring? I just want to go and hide under a blanket somewhere. But I show up, and I say, all right, Lord, here we go. I'm going to take this little one thing I've got. I'm going to put it on the altar, and I tell you how God multiplies it out. I don't want you to be discouraged today, and I don't want you to discount yourself and say, well, I'm not significant. My gift, my ability is not. You use your ability for God and watch what he will do. Others may have it the other way. Some people won't get involved because it's not big. The opportunity is not big enough. We have our grandiose members sometimes in the body of Christ that say, well, you know, when they're ready for me on Sunday morning, then I'll step up. Because I'm a five-talent guy, and I, you know, if they would really just use me the way I deserve to be used. I mean, obviously they can see that my voice is the best and my face is amazing and, you know. Which may be true. We have some amazing people in the kingdom of God. But the thing is, if we're so amazing that we won't be faithful with the small things. And I fear a little bit in our culture that we're all so conditioned to the amazing and the perfect, that we're all just waiting for that perfect door, and we miss the door that God opens and says, let's start right here. Let's start with small things and small beginnings. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19 says, again in the Message translation, I've been in the Message this week a little bit, but it says, think about how all this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. So while we are significant, the fact that you have a gift, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about your gift and your identity, and this the fact that you have to be joined to God and to other people for it to really become great, that keeps your significance from blowing up into self-importance, which is another thing that keeps us from adding our small part. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. See, when you're a partner with God, God gets the glory. And when you're on a team and you're a part of a congregation or a ministry you're a part of a family or whatever, and you're all working together, this is what this partnership thing means. Each of us might get a little bit less limelight, but what happens is we are able to do great things together. That's the body of Christ. The body of Christ isn't one person that has 100 talents. You know what the church is? A bunch of people that have one talent, two talents. And they work together. And they don't really care who gets the credit or who gets the glory. They just want to see the job done. And they want to come into partnership with God. So they start where they are. And they bring their talent. And they say, praise the Lord, let him be glorified. Amen. So let's not get self-important. And let's not also, you know, the Bible says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. But you ought to think of yourself highly. You ought to think of yourself as significant. So I want you to commit what you have when you feel that it's insignificant. Number two, I want you to commit who you are when you feel inadequate. Who are you? Are you adequate? Are you doing a good job as a father, as a mother, would you give yourself an A? Would you say, I'm amazing, man? Got this wired, you know. I'm just, if you're honest, if you're anything like me, you're struggling every day to feel like, Lord, I just believe you're going to show up, because if you don't, this is going to be a mess. And that's really the way most of us, live. And I want to comfort you, because that's the key to God's power. Not depending on yourself. There's actually an advantage to being a one-talent person. Because you know, if God doesn't show up, it's just going to be a disaster. So you stay real close. I've seen five-talent people get a little sloppy, because they've got all the skills and they've got the background and they've got the, but they're not paying attention to the partnership of God. And so whether you have one talent or five, you're still only going to get so far. You're still only human. You're actually not entering into partnership with God until you bring everything, commit everything that you are to Him. And then you're capable of the miraculous. Commit who you are when you feel inadequate. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, and this has become a theme verse for me. As a matter of fact, Kathy, I don't know if you remember this, that Dr. Don Phillips gave us this verse in our premarital counseling, what was that, 37, 38 years ago. I've never forgotten this verse. He said, since confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but say it with me, everybody, our adequacy is from God. Continue, who has also made us adequate of servants of the new covenant. So, everybody say, I'm not adequate except in God. And that, see, that's how we live. That's how we live a miracle life. That's how we live an inspired life. That's how we live on a little different plane. If you're just counting on your ability, your background, your resourcefulness, that'll take you to a point. And there's certain things that God isn't going to do for you. God's not going to make your bed. Okay. So get up, make your bed, right? But when you come to the end of your ability, and you're standing there, you go, Lord, I mean, I'm a single mom. I don't know if I can make this happen. I don't know if I've got what it takes. Then you lean on God and say, I'm not adequate, but in Him I am adequate. Why? Because Christ makes up for all the weaknesses. He covers all the flaws, and He introduces His power into our shortfall. You know, I used to have an account. I don't know if we still have that kind of account, but there was a kind of an account where it has overdraft protection. Do we have that? It's been so long since we've overdrafted. It's good to know, but I mean, you don't want to take advantage of something like that, but here's the thing. When you're short, that thing kicks in and covers you. When you're inadequate, God kicks in and He covers. You do your best. You manage. You do what God's called you to do. You know, make your bed. But trust the Lord for the shortfall. You ever felt like you just weren't ready? Are you there today, maybe with a job situation or a opportunity or an open door? Maybe you're engaged. You're not sure if you're ready for marriage. You're going from high school into college. You're not sure if you're ready. I think I've told you this story before, but it makes me smile every time. A man visited his childhood home. This was after 20, 30 years. He hadn't been there. And, you know, he was back in his old neighborhood. And there he saw the house that he grew up in. He was a little child in this house. And he just started feeling nostalgic. So he went up to the door and just knocked. And he explained, he said, I'm sorry, I know I'm a stranger, but this is the house I grew up in. And I have so many fond memories of this house. Could I just look around? And the woman said, sure, no problem, come on in. And she's talked about how much she loved the house. And he walked around, and sure enough, you know, everything was pretty much like it had been. And he said, oh, I used to play up in that attic. She said, go on, go take a look in the attic. That was my favorite place to hide and play. And so he went up into the attic, and he was looking at boxes. And actually, he found his old college high school letter jacket. He had lettered in high school athletics, and it was still in the attic hall covered with dust, and he couldn't believe it. And he reached inside the pocket, and out of the pocket he pulls a shoe tag, a pickup shoe tag from a cobbler. He had taken a pair of shoes 20 years before to a cobbler and forgot to pick them up. So he grabbed the coat, he explained, and he said to the lady, can I keep? Oh, she said, yeah, that's yours, keep it, fine. And he took off, said goodbye, and just for kicks, while he was in his old village, he went back, and sure enough, that cobbler shop was still there. And now the man, the owner of the cobbler shop, was aged, and he was old, he was moving kind of slow. So just for kicks, with a totally straight face, he walked into the shoe shop and put the tag down on. The man looked at the tag, turned around very slowly into the back. He was back there for about 5 minutes. He walked back out with the tag and he said, they're not ready yet. What? Dude, if you're not ready by 20 years, you're just not going to be ready. Well, a lot of us feel like that's how we live. We're just, no matter how long it's, I'm not ready. I have a friend who's 60. He never did marry. I said, what? You never married? I just don't feel ready. At some point, you have to step through your feelings of inadequacy and step up and see what God has for you. You know, take a shot, you know, step in and see what God will do. Because there is nothing small about who you are if you are in Christ. Because inside of you is a miracle. Inside of you is the power of the Holy Spirit. Inside of you is the Word of God. Inside of you is God's guidance. He can open a door for you. He can make a way. There is nothing small about your life. You may feel small, and in actuality, you and I are small by ourselves. But in partnership with Almighty God, there is nothing small about my life or your life. So I'm not going to live small. I'm not going to think small. I may wrestle with those feelings, but ultimately I'm going to push through and say, you know what? I'm going to step up and believe that God can do big things with a small person. Because we're talking about partnership with Him. Nothing small about who you are. And by the way, try not to confuse. If you have average gifts, if you have average abilities, try not to confuse your gifts and abilities with your identity. You might think, well, I have average education or average intelligence, or even, you know, you may feel kind of behind in some ways. Don't confuse your accomplishments. Don't confuse your abilities with your identity. Because you get your identity from God. He's the one that created you, and God didn't make junk. There's nothing cheap about you. There's nothing little about you. There's nothing insignificant about you. You are a creation of Almighty God. You might feel small, but that might be because you have small education or small background or small opportunities. But in the hands of God, even your life can be extremely big and large. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that beautiful passage about the body of Christ and how we all work together and we're a part of a family, we're a part of the work of God together. And here's what Paul says in the Message translation again. He says, each person is given something to do. Everybody here has a gift. Each person is given something to do to show who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. The fact that you are a part of God's family, that you are a part of the body of Christ, makes you more significant. You don't have to stand on your own. You're with us now. Hallelujah. You're a part of the family now, see? And you got to hold your head up and say, I am somebody in Christ. I'm a part of the body of Christ. Are you getting anything out of this? Everybody say, I'm significant. My adequacy comes from God and not from myself. Okay, last piece, last challenge. We're talking about committing. Committing, you know, when we feel it's not enough, when we feel it's insufficient, committing when we feel inadequate, and committing it to God when your small opportunity arises. We talked last week about the day of small beginnings. Watch for the small opportunity. Everybody wants the big break. Everybody wants the big door. When am I going to have my moment? You probably have had 10,000 small moments and you weren't paying attention. Watch the small opportunities, because when you enter into the small opportunity and you're faithful with it, God does amazing things. This verse has become so important for me, Luke 19:17, because God really used this verse to speak to me and really change the whole course of my ministry and touching cities and planting campuses and all that. And it was when he said, because you've been faithful in a small matter, you will have authority over 10 cities. It's a story of God's ability to reward our faithfulness in small things. Most of us could not boast in our great accomplishments in life, but maybe many of us would be able at least to say this: I've tried to be faithful in a few small things. I've tried to be faithful in a few small things. And God says, because you've been faithful in a small thing, now watch how I'm going to open a door of opportunity for you and multiply it out. For me and for our church, that has significance. We're talking about planting our fifth campus in our fifth city, and God's done an amazing work through us, which I never would have dreamed could be possible. It's somewhat impossible to think about that. How would that even happen? How would those doors even open? But you see, it's just about being faithful in the small things. I can show up. I can be faithful in small things. And if I can be faithful in small things, God will bring the promotion. Here's a principle that I want you to understand. Increase comes when we are faithful. Everyone say faithful. Faithful. That means we keep our rhythm. We keep showing up. We don't skip a beat. We don't hit twice and then miss four, and then hit once and then miss two, and then we're faithful. We keep a steady rhythm. We keep showing up. We keep doing the right thing for our families. We keep showing up. We keep doing the right thing for God, for the kingdom, for the Lord, for the opportunities that he gives us. We're going to be faithful in the small things, in the opportunities that can alter the course of our lives. And if we just keep saying yes to God in those small moments, then the cumulative effect is huge. If you say yes in small moments through the course of your life to God, you're going to see how God is able to do great things. The issue is not the pizzazz. The issue is not the spectacular stuff. Anybody can say yes to the spectacular. God's looking for partners that will say yes to the ordinary, to the small, so that he can multiply this. Let me give you this verse prophetically. We're going to bring the service to a close here in a minute, but I almost want to go to prophesying around. Let me give you Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Jesus says, I am he who opens and no one shuts, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Look, I have set before you an open door. I have given you an opportunity and no one can shut it. For you have amazing strength. Is that what he said? You have the IQ that I've been looking for. You have all the education. I've just been looking for somebody like you. What does he say? He says, be encouraged, because you got a little strength and I'm going to open a big door. Will you be faithful to the opportunities, to the small doors, the things that God, they're God doors. And if you'll be faithful and just take that little bit of strength you have, oh, he's a God, he's a door opener. And some of you, you need a door right now. I mean, today you need a door. And I can tell you, it's not gonna be luck. It's not gonna be your amazing IQ that opens the door. Do you know why God opens doors for us? Because he's a good, good father. It's a part of his provision for us. An open door is provision. It's Him making a way for us. Just like putting food on our table and protecting us. Open doors are necessary in life. We need those open doors in the marketplace and with people. And I'm not sure if you're thinking about a job change or what might just be the need of your life right now. And you're just thinking, man, I don't even know. I just have a little bit of strength. And the Lord says, hey, I'm the one that opens that door. Trust me. And if I open a small door, will you walk through it and watch me do great things? I'm telling you, folks, small things are a big deal. They really are. And if you feel small, welcome to the club. Me too, I tell you. But if we're faithful with the opportunities God gives us, amazing things are going to happen. Would you like some good news? On this Sunday before Thanksgiving, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to God. I want to say thank you to God for saving me and for giving me a beautiful wife and beautiful kids and grandkids and this amazing church. It's like such an honor part of this. I'm so blessed. I'm really grateful. Are you grateful for what God has done for you? I'm grateful. One thing that makes me so grateful about my relationship with you is this whole thing of inadequacy, thinking about how are we going to start new churches? There's a limit to what one person can do, and you could feel alone, but I'm not alone because you guys are with me, and we're doing this together, and we have an amazing team, and our staff, and our elders, and our intercessors, and on, amazing, amazing people. So for about 4 or 5 weeks, we just talked about the Beyond offering. We talked about planting our, making our Beyond offering, dedicating it this year to getting the campus started in a new city, our fifth city, Phoenix, Arizona. And we worked on it financially and said, what would it take? We think it'd take about $100,000, $105,000 just for the startup costs. And then they need that first year's budget to get going. People, of course, in Phoenix, as that church grows, we'll start it in February of 2019, just about a year and a half from now. This summer, Albert and Jenny, who are, by the way, they're up with our Santa Rosa campus this morning. This summer, they'll be moving. We start the ground game this summer. We start building up ahead of steam. And so, we needed $105,000 plus estimated $200,000 for that first year to be offset by whatever people in Phoenix would be giving, so it's hard to say exactly what that would be. So we shared the need, and you guys stepped up with small offerings. We had some one-talent gifts. We had some two-talent gifts. We had some five-talent gifts. We worked together as a body. Some amazing gifts, and I'm so blessed and thankful that about $200,000 was committed, of which almost $150,000 has already come in. That's in the bank. So here's what I'm able to tell you. For our next campus, the startup costs are more than covered for all the equipment that we need to get started, right? That's done. That's in the bank. Glory to God. And a few months of that first year is already in the bank, which is going to give Pastor Albert and Jenny. Now, don't stop giving, because we need to get to $300,000. But I'm telling you, you guys are incredible. You are amazing. And I thank you for that. And it encourages me when I feel inadequate. I say, how are we going to do this? And then the body of Christ just steps up. They say, well, I got a loaf. I got two fishes. I'll be a part of that. I can't do the whole thing, but I can do something. And I can't tell you how that makes me feel. It makes me feel like my adequacy is from Him. And you know what? Together we are going to do great things. Do you believe that? And you're going to do great things. Just bow your heads. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for all the projects of faith and all of the steps of faith that every one of us long to take. Lord, we're taking big steps together as a church to preach the good news of Jesus Christ wherever you lead us to go. I'm so grateful, Lord. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. I bless these gifts. I bless your people. And I pray, Lord, that when we feel inadequate, insufficient, that you will teach us again and again how you can take the small things and do incredible things with them, Lord. Do amazing things in our life, Lord. I pray for the single mom who's just struggling. I pray for the young married couple. I pray for the teenager who's trying to figure out which way to go and how he's going to get there. I pray for the unemployed. I pray for the person who's struggling with sickness. Lord, come with your power. Take our little strength and open a major door for us, Lord. Father, I prophesy right now the season of open doors, Lord. A season of breakthroughs and open doors, Lord. I prophesy. Lord, I release open doors over your people, Lord. Open doors of opportunities. And Lord, they might not all be big open doors. They might be smaller ones that we need to be faithful with, but give us the strength to do that, Lord. Let those doors open, and we'll be partners with you for your glory, Lord. Thank you for it. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to close the service here in a minute. I wonder if there's somebody here who just needs to commit it to God. First of all, I'd say, Christian, are you committed? Or are you holding back? Are you keeping it back? Are you saying, no, I'm just going to bury it. I'm afraid. Can't take that step. I can't take that risk. God's too severe. And what difference would it make if I did my thing for God? I mean, it wouldn't make a difference. It wouldn't. Is that you? And would you say, all right, I give, Uncle. I'm going to bring my little thing and give it to God. I want to be his partner. Just heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm talking to Christians now. Some of you need to recommit your life to the Lord. You need to recommit your talent to the Lord and say, okay, I give. I mean, God, you got me. I want to step up and however you lead me, I want to just bring my, whatever I have, it's not much, I'll give it to him. If that's you, lift your hand, say, Pastor, that was me. I want to step up. Yep. Yep. Many people. Come on, I think it would do you good just to say, I'm gonna step up for God from this day forward and do what he's asked me to do. Lord, I pray over these that are raising their hands. I ask you to touch them and multiply their loaves and fishes, Father. Now, Lord, I also pray for those that are in this room that need to make a decision for Christ. If you're here today and you want to give your heart to the Lord, you want to invite Christ into your life, would you lift your hand? Just lift it up and say, that's me. I want my sins forgiven. I need to give my heart to the Lord. I want to rededicate my life to him. I need forgiveness. God bless you. I see your hand. It's just important. Just a small thing. Now, Father, I pray that you'll just touch this sister that lifted her hand and strengthen her commitment to you. Lord, let her life be radically transformed. All of our lives together, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. There's a prayer up on the screen. We're going to say it together, and then we're going to have a time to worship the Lord with our giving. Thank you guys again and again. Thank you 1,000 times for your tithes, your faithfulness, your beyond gifts. It's not too late to get involved. Thank you for that. But let's say this prayer, all right, together, and make this your prayer to God. Here we go. Father God, thank you for the small things. Though I feel weak and small, I commit myself fully to you. I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. Help me to grow in dependence on you, in humility, submitting all for your glory. Come on. Thank you for multiplying what I place in your hands. In Christ's name, amen. Let us worship the Lord. Let's be grateful to God. Thank you, ushers. Serve the people. Let's honor the Lord this morning.
Know this song, let's sing this together. This is the day, this is the day that you have made.
Thank you.
Whatever comes, I won't complain. For all my hope is in your name.
Bless you.
And now your joy awaits my praise. I give you thanks.
Yes, Lord.
I give thanks for all you have done, and I will sing of your mercy and your love. Your love is unfailing, Lord. I am grateful.
Grateful. That's a good song. Are you blessed? I'm super blessed. Thank you. Thank you for being an amazing church and stepping up as you have. Our friends are here at the front to pray with you. If you need healing prayer or a touch, you just want to check in with somebody this morning. We really do care about your needs, and so please connect here at the front if you came in need of prayer. My beautiful wife, Kathy, is going to be leading a special event with the children's ministry. But at the end of this announcement, she's going to speak a Thanksgiving blessing on you, right?
All right. We want to invite you to, we're going to be having an open house in Kid City today. We're going to be having some refreshments and just share a little bit about what we're doing for kids.
All right.
So come and join us in Kid City after the service today.
If you've never seen Kid City or what God has done over there, that started as a little thing. And boy, it's become something so special. So thank you to all the Kid City. Can we give our children's workers a big hand? Go thank them, you know. Thank the people that are taking care of those kids, because that's a... All right, honey, bless the people. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I just thank you this morning as we enter this holiday season of Thanksgiving, God. You said, whatever we thank you for, God, when we pray, that you would answer us, Lord.
Yes, yes, that's right.
And that you would give us the peace of God that passes understanding. God, that you would fill us with your joy, unspeakable and full of glory.
Yes, Lord.
I pray over the Gateway families this week as they're going towards visiting with their family and spending time with their loved ones, God. Father, that they would just give thanks to you and they would be grateful, God, and that you would just fill their homes with the peace of God. That you would fill their homes with the joy of the Lord. God, I just pray that you would provide every need that they have,
yes.
God. Provide their financial needs, their spiritual needs, God, and their emotional needs. Father, we just pray blessings on your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Happy Thanksgiving, Gateway. God bless you. Have a safe and wonderful time. If I haven't met you, we'd love to shake your hands. And I think I'll head over to the children's... open house, that's going to be fun. Got it.